All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the In the Dome podcast. All right, we're back. It's been a bit of a hiatus, eh? I was sick as a dog last week. There's no way I could do anything. It's coming out both ends, if you know what I mean. Not giving you too many visuals, but...
Which end is worse for it to come out?
Oh, I don't like puking. That's the worst for me. Even though, I don't want to get into too many details on this, but... It was a close tie, but edge to the puking is the worst.
Well, the flu bug's going around the Flames right now, apparently.
Oh yeah, well, it's that time of year. Flu bug is gonna flu bug. Fucking Oilers are back, eh?
I wish that flu bug would hit McDavid.
Right.
He seems to get stronger when he's like sick or something. Fucked up.
Fuck, was that great when he sucked and they sucked for like 3 weeks? Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah, that was fun.
Now they're like the hottest team in the NHL.
Won like 6 straight. He's got what, 20 points in like 6 games or something ridiculous?
Yeah, he's basically a 3-point per game stretch.
Yeah, it's totally normal.
Is he leading the league yet?
Probably what's getting
the
there.
What's the gap now? Because he was like 210th last time we recorded. And I was like, it won't take long.
Now like 6th. He's 34 points. Kucherov leads with 44. So he'll get there probably by the end of the night, actually.
Are we the only ones that don't like this guy? Like, he's so annoying how good he is.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really likes him.
What's there to like? These commercials with him and Gretzky? Fuck, those are cringe, eh?
I like how that guy got Senators guy got like fined or whatever, or no, suspended for like 40 games for like betting on sports. Shane Pinto.
Cool.
And then like every commercial I see is gamble.
Right. Don't gamble. 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 Don't gamble. Gamble.
There's a great meme of Shane Pinto's been suspended for 41 games, and like the Senators helmet sponsor is like a betting company. It's fucked up.
So You're not allowed to bet on any sports or just your own games?
Well, any sports. I don't really know the full details, but I guess like there's some investigation. I guess like any sports. I don't know the rules. Whatever it is, it's really stupid.
That's dumb.
It's really
you
dumb.
You can go to a casino, though.
Oh, yeah. No problem there.
Like, he can't even bet on football?
I don't know. I don't have no fucking clue. All I know like is he
maybe,
was...
maybe it makes sense that you can't bet in your own league. But you should be able to bet on sports.
He was suspended for activities relating to sports betting.
So how do they figure that out? Like, he's just on his... He downloads an app on his phone, bets $2.
I guess, yeah, they, bets, like, trace his $2. IP address or something.
Bets $2 for Mahomes to score a touchdown on the next drive. Cashes in $12. Busted.
41 games.
I'm sure they're betting higher amounts than $2, but... Dude, that's a steep fucking...
Oh, yeah, you can, like, kill somebody in the NHL.
You can beat the shit out of your wife.
You can, yeah, that's fine.
I guess you can't do that either.
You can't, but...
What's the latest on Lucic?
I don't know. He's disappeared into the ether, it seems.
Fuck was that weird, eh? Watching him in the courtroom?
That was insane. That was like some, like what? Like surreal, like it was, looked fake.
He kind of still looked drunk. That must have been some bender.
If you Google, talk about a guy who would be scary, blasted out of his mind. Holy.
No shit, eh?
If you Google Lucic, you know how when you Google stuff, like the first thing that comes up is like people, like suggestions of what people also ask? The second one, the top two questions are, why did Milan Lucic leave the Bruins? And the second one is, why does Lucic have a hunchback?
We've already covered this. Fun fact. Yeah. Remember the old fun facts?
Fun facts that are super depressing.
Fun fact, he's got a disease, folks. Not even joking. What's it called?
Schumerans? Fuck, I don't know how to pronounce that. Schumerans. Fuck, I don't know.
It's strange to me, though, that you can still play a professional sport with that disease. Why is it? Is it really a disease?
I guess it's not a disease. It's more like a, like what?
Abnormality?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if it's a disease, this guy's still playing in the NHL. It can't be much of a disease. You can still beat the living daylights out of guys.
I was watching highlights of that. Remember that Nashville game where we beat the shit out of them?
Oh, yeah. I saw you posted some stuff.
I don't know why I was talking about that. What was I talking about? I was just bummed. Well, not bummed. But I was like, I like having guys like Zadorov on the team, like big, tough guys. And I was just watching highlights of that game where, like, Chucky was fighting and Gabranson beat the living shit out of a guy and Lucic crushed Duchesne. That was a great game.
Yeah, when we had multiple options of just...
When we played big boy hockey. You.
Yes, that was a while ago. Although Zari got into a little scrap last game.
I'm liking Zari. He's kind of like liking. I'm fucking loving him. He's kind of like he's got. Like, I don't want to say he's like Kachuk, but he definitely has way more skill than I expected. I don't know.
Yeah, me too.
And he plays hard like that.
Almost on a nightly basis, he makes some ridiculous one-on-one beat. Like, it's hard to beat a defenseman one-on-one. Period. Let alone NHL defensemen. And this guy's doing it.
He's doing it almost every night. Yeah, and he plays hard. He's
slippery. That little play where he keeps it in at the blue line he didn't get an assist on it, but he should have.
Oh, that was insane. That was great.
Yeah, he's like, there's a guy draped all over him. He's just like, get off me. I'm going to dish this now.
Yeah, he was like
5 seconds.
Yeah, like battling, so much. That takes strength and confidence and skill to make that play.
Patience, vision, everything. This guy is, hands down, our best hockey player on this current roster.
Oh, it's not even close.
And how old is he?
20?
20.
Well, and this is the thing, like, this is what I think most of us have been. Oh, he's 22, I guess. He's a little older than I thought.
Oh, yeah, it's because
he's been developing. And this is why, you know, like, this is what Flames fans have been dying for years. Because you see all these other teams, it's like, oh, they've got this kid they just drafted last year. He's 20, and he's, like, scoring all these goals. And our guy's like, wow, we just, They're not ready yet. No. It's like our youngest player in the lineup is like Dylan Dubé. He's like 24. It's refreshing.
How about Dustin Wolf gets his first win this season? First win this season, right?
His confidence.
He's gonna get shot.
I thought after he lost that other game, he'd be ruined forever. Fuck.
I thought after the 2-0 early on that you just send him right back to the AHL dressing room and say, sorry, bud, you gotta go get confidence back. Your career's now over.
Yeah, it's probably over for you, man. You better go spend another 3 years in the minors rehabilitating your state of mind.
We're so worried about your mental health. Can you handle it?
He was great. He was great after those two goals, which he had no chance on, by the way.
And we'll get to it in a sec. The Kadri bowling him over. Even when he came in relief for Vladar, who was it? Who were we playing?
That was the terrible, awful, no good Minnesota game.
Right. Even then, those goals he let in. But he's so interesting to watch, eh? Because it's like, this is a whole new paradigm, old new paradigm of goaltending. Like, he does not look like any goaltender I remember. He actually kind of looks like Kiprusov a little bit, actually.
He's super athletic, and
it's fun to watch because it is. He's not just bulked out on as much as equipment as possible, just trying to fill as much net as possible. This guy, like you said, super athletic. The foot speed on him is ridiculous. He might have the quickest foot speed on the team. So watching him tend the net is like it's interesting to watch because I haven't seen anything like this. Like, I don't remember Vernon. You guys are fucking ancient. Like, I don't remember. I remember being a kid and, you're walking around. Actually, I think when I was a kid, the new tendy was Trevor Kidd. That was
Ken Reggett, maybe?
That was the era. Kenny Reggett, Rick Tabaracci.
Holy fuck, dark times, eh?
Freddie Brathwaite.
Oh, I love Freddie, though.
Yep. So it's just really interesting to watch in this day and age, 2023, a goaltender. Because it's like he's kind of skinny too, right? He's just a wee guy in there. But he's relying completely on his athleticism. And it's just interesting to watch. That one play, did you see this? Where was it? Someone was screening him in front. This was the last game.
Oh, yeah, the Carolina game. Yep.
And he's looking to his right because Stahl's standing right in front of him, big body. So he's looking around to the right. And then he actually catches it with his left on the other side of Stahl. Like, he tracked it by looking to the right and caught it, like, basically without tracking the puck into his glove. It was insane. Did you watch this?
Yeah, and Stahl is huge. How big is Jordan Stahl? Like, 6? He's a monster of a man.
He's a beast. So it's interesting. And to me, this is, I mean, we made this argument weeks ago, months ago. This is where you're going to see him truly develop into the next level, is by playing in the NHL. He's not getting any better in the AHL. That was, and that's got to be about as good as a win you can get as a goalie if you're Dustin Wolf. What's that, his fourth appearance?
No, I guess that was his fourth start. He played the last game. No, third start. That's right.
So you you get a win last year, but this garbage time of the season, it's not really meaningful. So to get your first win of this season, when you're actually playing for a spot, like, legitimately. So you're down early 2-0. And you end up winning that game, shut the door for the rest of the game. Like, that has got to be good for his confidence. That's how you build confidence.
100%. And, I mean, this is the thing I don't understand about people who have been like, oh, his confidence is like, this is a kid who, like, he sat there at the draft floor until the very end. He was the last pick. Like, at every level, this guy has been told, you're not good enough, you're too small, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, he's been goalie of the year 4 straight years in a row. He's had to fight for everything. So, you know, 2-0 game in like your second, third NHL start, that's like nothing to him. I think this guy's a freaking mental warrior already.
So, I mean, this season, even though it's not very exciting to be a fan, there's some really interesting storylines.
I'm enjoying myself way more than I was last year.
There's way more things to follow and storylines and
How about this? There's way more things to cheer for. Like, I watching that game the other night, the Carolina game, like when they've been winning these comeback games, I'm kind of like always in the back of my mind, like, yeah, I mean, I like watching Zeri play but I kind of wish they were like losing these games so we could get a decent draft pick. But like when did they play? Friday night watching or Thursday night watching them play Carolina. I was full blown, like, holy fuck, we have to win this game for Wolf. Like, I was cheering for a player on the Flames, which I haven't been able to do in a while. That was so something to cheer for. That's nice.
Yeah, you want Wolf to get his win. And I mean, this whole Markstrom getting injured, it's funny because across the board, I don't know if it's a unanimous consensus, but the consensus amongst the fan base is like, awesome, we're going to get to see Wolf. No one's like, oh, fuck, Markstrom's out. Everyone's like, fuck yeah, we're going to see Wolf now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting that that's the reality we're living in. And then what a storyline. Like, if you're the Flames and you're Conroy, I would be giving Wolf the majority of these starts while Markstrom's out. This is your actual legitimate shot to see what you have here. Can he hang with the best of them? Do you know we're recording here Saturday morning, so just before the game starts, do we know who's confirmed to start today? Is it Vladar?
I think Vladar, I don't know if he's confirmed yet, but he was in the starters net yesterday at practice.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't surprise me if they go back to him, but why don't you just roll with him?
Yeah, I'd be rolling with him, especially after that win. And I mean, maybe you want to showcase Vladar a bit too. If you're looking to move him, but I'd be starting Wolf the majority of these next few games.
Okay, well, let's get into the management here, because this to me is probably the main storyline of the season is how is Conroy going to manage all these pending UFAs throughout the duration of the remaining season, right? So he trades Zadorov. Was it last week?
Right before the Vancouver game last week.
Before he scores the game winner against us in his first game against.
Well, I mean, that's all given. It's the Flames. Of course. Yeah. It's a universal law.
Yeah, you don't even have to pencil that in. Just put it right there on a pen. Yeah. But this one's a little different because there's a trade request, not necessarily, managing any contracts. What do you have? One more contract year after this?
No, he's done at the end of the year.
Oh, okay. All right. So getting ahead of it. But what did you think of the return? I think most people were a little not impressed with what Conroy got back. Him and other pundits are saying, well, cap space, cap space, cap space. So in that theory, is it okay just to fucking trade Nylander for nothing so you can clear up 10.5 mil cap space? The theory works across the board.
Everybody just has $0 to spend. Nobody's paying anybody. It'd be great. I would agree with the cap space thing. And this is why maybe I'm kind of like waiting. It's obviously, I thought the return was very poor. But I will be more pleased with that line of thinking if they actually use their cap space, which is something the Flames have never done. They never retain salary. Like, if the Flames go ahead and, because like you're saying, a lot of the talk from people saying, oh, this is a good trade for the Flames because of the cap space, and Conroy himself is saying, oh, well, we didn't use a retention slot, so you can only have three retention. You can only retain three money on three contracts in a given year. So, we didn't have to use a retention slot, and we have cap to you know, like maybe take some money back from another team in another deal. So if they do that, then yeah, that makes sense. The problem is the Flames historically have never done that. They've never eaten money. They've never weaponized cap space like other teams have done. Like you've seen Arizona do this. You've seen multiple teams do this where, hey, we're going to broker a trade between this team and this team. We're going to take on some bad money so we can get an asset, or we're going to retain salary so we can increase the return on our other trades. That'd be great, but they never do that historically. So I kind of have to wait to see if they actually employ the use of that, to see if this whole cap space, oh, we got cap space as an asset, is a valid argument.
Well, and part of it is you're just always so mid.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Like how are we still winning games?
Zeri?
Is like the last time, yeah, exactly. But the last time we recorded, we look at the upcoming schedule. And I mean, what did I say? If you're Connery, at least wait till the Christmas break to see where you're at.
Yeah.
Because, hey, if you can get into the playoffs, you have to try and get there. Your biggest point is pull the Nashville card, get there and secure your future at the same time. Like do both. And I think from, you know, what I'm witnessing, Connery is on that track. But he's waiting. Like, I don't know. Sure, you can get more for some of these pending UFAs the closer the deadline you get. But a guy like Tanev, like this guy could block another shot with his face and be out for 8 weeks.
Exactly.
Next game, like any moment.
He could, yeah.
So if you're going to seriously, you know, if you're planning on dealing Tanev, but I guess at the same token, you know, what are the offers looking like? Because it sounds like,
well, if they're coming from Brad and his limp dick little stupid offers that are like half-hearted offers, so he could be in on something. I'm sure they're not great.
Sniffing around.
Yeah, he's just poking around.
He's in on Kane.
He was in on Kane for sure. I'm so shocked they didn't. They probably finished second though, eh?
Yeah, close second. So, but if I mean, jump into the Leafs here for a sec. Wall goes down with a high ankle sprain. You see this?
Yeah.
So he's out. The other goaltender, was it Samsonov? Or the fuck ever his name is? He's been terrible. So now what are they going to do? I mean, you know, Brad Treliving's not the type of guy that's going to not want to go out and spend money on a...
What do you mean? He's already spent all his money.
Yeah, let's spend more assets.
He's got a horseshoe falling out his ass because Klingberg suddenly got hurt.
Oh, fuck, of course.
So he's got what? How much money does he have burning a hole in his? He's got some money burning a hole in his pocket now that Klingberg's out, like $2 million. He can't wait to spend that.
What can if you're? Do you think he's probably looking at a guy like Vladar? No, wouldn't Vladar be perfect right now for the Leafs? You know he's going to have a propensity to, you know, a bias for his own deals he's made in the past. Those are
He loves his own guys.
So, especially when they turn out to be, you know, not complete flops. But if you're Brad Treliving, now all of a sudden we have two goaltenders here that might potentially make sense as trade chips in Vladar and or Markstrom. But which of the two would you trade?
Well, if it were me, I would be looking to trade Markstrom if somebody was interested in him. And I think maybe this little injury here gives you a good opportunity to see if Wolf...
Well, that's my point is...
Exactly. Like, this is a kind of a...
This is a blessing. You have, a 2-3 week stretch here where you can see exactly... We don't even have to sit here and argue about it. We don't have to hypothecate or whatever the fuck it is. Just
pontificate.
Just put him in there.
Yeah.
So far, the Carolina game, he's proving himself. Let's see if he can do it again. I think he should get 80% of the starts here while Markstrom's out. But that would just make sense from an organizational standpoint, wouldn't it? Don't you want to know if he's ready currently already? Wouldn't that totally help your cause and clear up
It would clear everything
up. Any confusion about how the goaltending is going to plan out and this and that? Like,
because,
put him in there.
Because what's if your alternative is, oh, we're going to play Vladar to see what he's like. Like, well, what if he's good? Then you're like, oh, well, we keep Vladar and Markstrom. We plays fourth with those guys and just like, oh, well, Wolf's our third guy. Or maybe Vladar sucks and it tanks his trade value. I just see playing Wolf more clears things up way more than playing Vladar.
Well, if he's looking like he's NHL ready, then it makes your decisions for you, which is nice. Yeah. You don't
and
have
it,
to.
I think that fits Conroy's MO of playing young players more too.
Yeah, me too. But this is your point always is, okay, we're going to play Vladar. Oh no, he's good. Now what do we do?
Yeah. Oh,
and now we think maybe we should keep him because he's good. That's always the catch-22 with the Flames.
Yeah.
As soon as their trade value goes up, then you want to keep them all of a sudden.
Oh, we can't lose this guy. You've been great.
Like somebody, I just was on the Twitter this morning, and Francis wrote this big article about Tanev. And his trade value is going up. But that's hard for the Flames now to let him go because the trade value is going up. Well, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the that's the thing like Elliot was reporting on. This week with like or last week with the Zadorov trade rumors is that like Toronto also wanted Tanev and the Flames are exploring that, but there's also like there is an appetite from the Flames to re-sign Chris Tanev as well.
It doesn't make any sense, man.
It makes no sense. He's 34. He's been awesome.
Yes.
He would be awesome on like he's awesome still.
This is why you trade him.
This is exactly the kind of guy
you don't
keep
you don't,
at this point in your life
exactly.
cycle as a team.
If you want value coming back, then you trade him when he's good. I mean, we not learned anything here from Brad. You don't wait until that player has expired and be like, okay, now what do we get for him?
You don't wait until it's like Sam Bennett and it's like he sucks now and he's asked for a trade. Well, we'll just get rid of this.
You don't wait till it's Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk and they just leave and then fucking leave.
Trade them at peak value. And like, there's no way Chris Tanev, like, I don't know. And listen, I wouldn't be like super mad if they kept Chris Tanev on a short-term deal or something. I'm not going to like lose my mind over that. But the point, Conroy said he doesn't want to lose guys for nothing. And where you're at as a team is you need draft picks and young players. And you have a 34-year-old defenseman who is, it's a miracle he has been so healthy in his time in Calgary.
Yes.
Out there blocking shots with his face, who teams are willing to pay for right now. And you can get something to build your future back. It would be insane not to go down that road.
Do you think Chris Tanev could net you a first?
He should. He absolutely should.
Would you have to retain?
Maybe, but I'd be willing to do that.
But you think the value is there currently with a healthy Chris Tanev?
You're telling
me,
yeah.
You could net yourself a first.
Well, maybe we'll get a third in like 2042.
Yeah, if we're lucky.
The market's bad.
Don't worry, we're going to get it next decade.
I think Chris Tanev should get you a nice little haul for the kind of player he is.
So, I mean, I don't even, there's not even a discussion here. Do you keep him or not?
Exactly.
At his shelf life, with the way he plays, with the direction this team's heading in, do I love the player? Yeah. Do I want him on my team? Of course I do. But yeah, I'd rather have the first round draft pick.
Well, and listen, like this is something teams do all the time is like, hey, if you want to come back next year, we'll sign you, you know? Like that should, like, that's kind of what I was saying with Zadorov too, is like, trade him. Like, if he wants to be here, like, tell him, yeah, there's a contract waiting for, like, say that to Chris Tanev, like, hey, we'd love to sign you again next year if you really like it here and you want to come back.
Yeah. Here's your shot at winning the cup.
You see that happen all the time, the deadline rentals. It's very Flamesy to be like holding on to guys. No other team does this.
When you're how many points out of the playoff spot?
Yeah.
So, I love how it's like, oh, we're only 3 points out of a playoff spot. Let's hold on. Not like, oh, we're in a playoff spot. Maybe we should hold on here. We're just out. And you're also
like 5 points from the bottom.
Exactly. You're 3 points out of a playoff spot. And you're what is it?
We're 22nd in the league right now.
You're, what is it?
Ottawa and Anaheim are
7 points up on San Jose.
Exactly. Like the Ottawa and Anaheim are like 5 points behind us only. That's not
how is how is Anaheim not good still?
Yeah, they're taking their time, eh? It's weird. Ottawa too. And Columbus, obviously.
Seattle's down there where they
and
be.
Buffalo. What the what is going on with these?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But
maybe the rebuild, maybe rebuild isn't so great.
Yeah, true. The Oilers are down there too.
We got Tage Thompson. Yeah, but we still suck.
Well, look at the teams who are good though. Like that's why they're aggressive about it and they know what they're like. I look at the Rangers as the model of like that's how you rebuild.
And Dallas. Dallas did successfully.
Yeah, Dallas too. I mean, the Rangers are New York. People want to go play. And it helps when you have guys like Panarin wanting to come there and Adam Fox will only sign with you. That definitely helps. But yeah, like Dallas is a good example. You can do it. You can be smart about it. Carolina too. They've never really bottomed out. Anyways, I just think you have to trade Chris Tanev.
Have to.
You have to. Well, okay. Let me put it this way. If you traded Hanifin, you have to trade Lindholm. You have to trade Lindholm.
He's not.
You have to trade Lindholm.
Lindholm for sure nets you first.
I think you would be better off trading Hanifin and better off trading Tanev, but I think Lindholm is the one guy you have to trade.
I mean, we've been talking about this. If you're Craig right now, you're trading to teams to make them better so that the Oilers don't win this down the
cup. 100%. I posted this idea and it resonated with a lot of people. They're like, oh fuck yeah, this is great thinking. You trade Lindholm to like Colorado, Tanev to Vegas or something, Hanifin to Dallas.
Hey, I think Lindholm should go to Vegas.
Yeah, like load these other teams up to just make
LA.
It
who can we give LA? Tanev
or
Tanev should go to LA.
If I guess Talbot's been really good there. They could have
Hanifin to Colorado. That'd be a good fit.
Who else? Who can go to Dallas?
Load up the West.
Yeah.
Because at this point, at this rate, the Oilers, well, they're not catching LA. This is great, man, because they fuck. I'm just here to watch the Oilers lose. That's it. That's all I'm here for.
They can't beat Vegas. I still don't think they're equipped to beat Vegas.
Well, I don't, dude. I think LA's now better than them.
Yeah, LA's a wagon.
So we should fucking.
Hey, there's another perfect example of a team that turned it around pretty quick. LA. Yes.
Yep. And I kind of feel like this is what I have a feeling this is kind of what Conroy is doing. Like he's slow playing this. I don't mind it. Because what you're seeing is all the youth that's coming up into the lineup is effective. And so he's slowly pulling this off.
He's slowly building his case for like, this is the way.
You have the best AHL team. Like the Wranglers are fucking good. Coronado, has he been the best player in the league since going down?
He's been well over point per game. He leads the Wrangler. He didn't play yesterday. I think he might be on his way up.
Like I tweeted this
great
yesterday. All I want for Christmas, and this is not a ridiculous ask. I think this could happen, is to see Shillington, Pelche, Coronado, Wolf and Zari as regulars on this team.
Fuck yeah.
And not only would that be exciting and fun, it's like these guys could actually. This is the whole thing that what do you call this? A slow rebuild? A quick rebuild?
A retool? I don't know.
There's got to be a new.
Here's what I call it: just having a vision of building your team through the draft. That's it. It's not any more complicated than that.
And the Flames have done a good job drafting. Apparently, the Zari is. I mean, everybody. What was he? Was he a first round pick?
Yeah, he's a first round pick in I think 20 was it the COVID year or the year before? I think it was 2019 or 2020.
Overall was he?
They traded down to get him even. I think he was 24th overall.
So
he's legit. It's not even a small sample size anymore. He's our best player. He's been our best player since he's been in the lineup, and it's not even a flash in the pan at this point. How many games has he played?
He's played, just for reference, he's played 16 games. As of today, he's 11th overall in rookie scoring, with 12 points in 16 games, and he's played the fewest games of anybody on that list. He leads all rookies in points per 60 minutes. All rookies.
He's the highest scoring rookie.
Points per 60, Connor Zeri is first right now. 2.98 points per 60. For reference, Connor Bedard is fifth. 2.61 points per 60. He's been so good.
That's insane, dude. Points per 60.
And this, I mean,
why does it say 2.98?
2.98 points per 60 minutes. This is.
He's averaging that?
Yeah.
3 points a game.
3 points per 60 minutes, him on the ice total.
Oh, on the ice?
Yeah.
Wow. What a stat.
He's been really good.
Simon Nemec. Was that our pick?
That's New Jersey's pick. He's only played like 3 games, so his is going to be a little more inflated.
Three games, right.
You've got a few other ones in there, but like of the rookies who have played, like if you do the cutoff at like 100 minutes even, Bedard. Why are all these hockey players named Connor? Zeri would be first. Kid in Columbus would be second. Ridley Gregg in Ottawa's third. Connor Bedard's fourth. Leo Carlson in Anaheim's fifth. That's some pretty elite company for Connor Bedard or Connor. Fuck, Connor Zeri.
Well, and watch the games. Like, he's exciting.
Watch the games. He makes so many good plays, and he makes game changing plays. And he every time he's on the ice, he's making shit happen.
You got to think, man. I just hope. What's the deal with Pelletier? Do we know?
I don't know. The last I heard is he maybe would be back in the new year.
I sure should hope so. Like, how fucking long is this injury?
Like,
but imagine he comes back and he's good. Shillington skating, like, you're not gonna start skating with the team if you're not coming back, right? And I still don't know what the fuck is going on with Shillington. Does anybody know yet?
Mm-hmm. No one knows.
He's been going through massive challenge. Everybody says, "Well, what is it? Mental health? So, it must be substance abuse, eh? Something. Mental health? Could be just mental health. Anxiety and pressure to perform just debilitates you, or what? Like, I don't know. I could see that happening."
You get Pelche in here, you get Shillington in here, you get, like, if Jeremy Poirier was healthy, you get him up here running your power play.
Well, this is the thing. Trade Tanev, get yourself, even if you got a second and a what do you call them, blue chip prospects?
You got a good prospect from the Leafs.
A solid prospect. Get another guy, young guy in the last.
Exactly.
Who's that, Robinson on the Leafs?
It's you, Mr. Robinson. People are underestimating how much Brad will pay for a defenseman. I think they're like, oh, they'd never give up that. Yeah,
I like seeing some of the.
You'd be surprised.
I like seeing some of the Leafs
trade proposals.
There was one. Noah Hanifin. So Lindgren for Noah Hanifin and a first.
Yeah, we give the first. Yeah. Holy shit.
And they're just like legit. They're
out to lunch. And they're totally serious about it, eh?
Yeah, that's the thing. Totally serious. We're the ones selling. We're the ones selling, but we'll give you a first round draft pick for him. Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
Insane.
Okay. Have our whole entire draft here. How about that?
Yeah. Just have the whole draft class. And hey, we'll throw in Coronado too. But yeah, exactly. Like, if you, like, wouldn't you watch the shit out of a team that has Zeri, Coronado, like, with even without Lindholm and Tanev? I think I think that's Tanev. I think moving him out of the roster, that definitely has a major effect. But the way Lindholm's going, and I know he kills penalties and stuff, and he's an all situations player. But are you telling me removing him would have like that, the way he's playing right now, that much of an impact on if you still wanted to make the playoffs?
No.
Probably not.
I mean, he makes a hole, but yeah, he's been pretty good lately.
He's been okay. He's still only going to like score like 50 points probably.
I think you're right. The vision is clear. You look to what these teams you rattled off have done. I think LA, like you said, is a great example. Just start pushing the youth in. You got to know, you know, and let them slowly start to take it over. I mean, LA is still rolling with Kopitar.
Yeah, like LA didn't make like these huge scorch the earth, like trade all their players moves, right? And I mean, sure, there's like 3 years in a row there they missed the playoffs. But holy shit, do they look good now, eh?
Oh, fuck. They set a league record for most consecutive road wins. No one can beat them at home.
And this is 10 years. This is 10 years removed from winning their second Stanley Cup.
Yep.
That's what you can do if you have a vision.
They still have Drew Doughty.
Drew Doughty's still there.
Like, yeah, you don't have to.
You don't have to trade Huberto and Kadri to be able to like rebuild and be competitive.
No.
It'd probably help, but.
We're here. Okay, so. Well, on this last podcast, we look at the stretch of games. Like, here's how we've done since we last recorded. I think it was after the Islanders game. You go into Seattle, you do a four-game road trip. Seattle, you win in overtime. You lose to Nashville. You beat Dallas. Lose to Colorado. Then you beat Vegas. Then you beat Dallas again. Lose to Vancouver, lose to Minnesota, beat the Canes. You're beating good teams.
You beat Vegas and Dallas back to back. That was insane to me. And you beat Dallas two times in like a week.
Yeah. And these were good games. It's not like you just, oh, fuck. Like you were, even this Canes game, didn't we dominate the Canes?
It was the second and third period, the Flames absolutely crushed them.
So there's a lot to pick apart here. I mean, Darryl's gone. Huska was, you know, under tutelage, under Darryl. So he would have picked up a lot of great things. Are we starting to see from a system standpoint? Because the personnel thing is way different personnel than what Darryl was working with last year. And that's partly Darryl's choice with sticking with all the vets all the time. But are we starting to see this team from a system standpoint kind of mesh together outside of the fucking power play never doing anything? But you're like, we're sitting here, you're beating good teams, you're playing some of these games, like you'll go online after everyone's like, oh, it's just a fucking great game to watch. Like that third period comeback against the Canes. Like that was,
well, even the comeback against it's a 2-1 game, the Vegas game. That was great.
So you're watching these games. What did they say? We have more comebacks. But we have one comeback last year?
I think we had two total.
It didn't take us long to match the total.
We're already at like five or six, I think. I think that's probably what you're seeing more than anything is like things normalizing a bit. You're actually finally getting some bounces.
And how, I haven't really, you know, you look at these more closely. How is the team outside of the power play from a system standpoint, team metrics?
They've been pretty mediocre. They're kind of, I think they're pretty similar to what they were last. They're still a possession team more so than anything.
Well, the Carolina Hurricanes are, maybe they're playing bad hockey right now, but traditionally they're just an analytics.
Yeah,
darling. They're a Corsi darling.
Like, that's what the Flames. Yeah, that's what the Flames have always kind of been. Like they're still their top 10 team Corsi wise, in terms of the Flames.
Okay.
And Carolina's first, obviously. Yeah. But in terms of like expected goals percentage, they're like pretty mid. In terms of creating quality offense, not very similar to last year. A lot of shots, not a lot of high, not a lot of like quality scoring chances at 5-on-5 still. So yeah. they're still, I think they're still a very similar team to what they were last year. I think the difference is this year, they're actually getting some fucking saves once in a while, and they're not hitting the post every shot. These things are going in.
Hey folks, our show is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2023. All rights reserved. I had to read all of that, apparently.
Okay, so it's not necessarily a team playing, even though they are... It's not a systems thing.
I think it's just you have some more skill. You have some more skill. You have these kids in this, a little more skill in the lineup.
That's what it is. And I mean, that's that.
Hey, maybe you're not gripping the stick so tightly anymore because
Daryl's not going to
break. Daryl's not going to rip your head off if you fuck up.
He's not going to endlessly shame you and make fun of you publicly. And
I think the D has been
fucking funny.
Even though it's awesome for us, I think the D has been a little more active, but I think more than anything, just pucks are finally going in. And that's what you see every year, right?
Well, we're getting bounces all the time now.
Like those
we didn't get one last year.
Like some of the goals Uyghur scored in the last week where he just kind of like, hey, it just went in. It's like none that wasn't going in last year.
So things are normalizing, but the biggest thing is it's the young guys.
I just think it's the young guys making skilled plays, getting some energy into the lineup.
And do you think that's sustainable? I mean, we're sitting here making a case for you should commit to this direction.
I think it's sustainable.
That's the reason why you're winning. And I mean, if it's not sustainable, you're screwed either way. So you go all in on this youth movement in this future. That's why I was like, man, how nice would it be for those Flames to catch a break and have Shillington come back to the roster.
Come back, I know, and it'd be great. And I mean, I'm just thinking, sitting here watching, like, I think Huberto actually has been a lot better in terms of creating offense.
He's just not worth.
No, he's not. But if you
what's his value? $5 million?
I'd say if you're looking at, let's say you sign him in free agency, like a Kadri, and it was like he's coming off career year, and he's going to be way overrated for the amount of money. Like maybe you're looking at like, oh, a $7 to $8 million guy. Like if, you know, but if he can be, if like, I'm just sitting here thinking like, okay, imagine he's playing with Zeri at center and Coronado on his wing and you're building this young skilled team with him there. Like how much, like he could probably refine his game. I think, cause I think you're seeing him make plays finally for the first time. Seeing him affect offense for the first time. He's still like you're saying, like way overpaid and he's still on pace for like 50 points.
What we really want to see is a consistent elite level playmaking, touching the game every single game. That's what we want.
But if he's playing
hey, like you said, there's signs of it. He's finally making the simple plays and he's elevating simple to complex slowly but surely. That's what you have to do. So, but I mean, you're sitting here and a lot of fans say the same thing as you're winning all these games without Huberto being elite, without Mangiapane ever scoring anymore, without Dubé doing fuck all, without the power play ever scoring a goddamn goal. Imagine if Mangiapane could score still. Imagine if Dubé could score still. Imagine if Huberto was that further along and closer to the player. Imagine if the power play could chip in once a game.
How about once a week?
How about once
a month? A month. What did you say? We have 10 power play goals this
How
year?
How about once? Period. Yes, we had, what, 10 power play goals.
And the other stat that's mind-blowing
is no player has more than one power play goal. So you have 10 players with one power play goal. Dude, Matt Coronado, what do you score in the third goal in the season? Score a power play goal? Bring this guy up just for the fucking power play, for crying out loud. Like, it's not rocket science.
It's confidence.
Ooh, he's got to go down and learn.
Got to get better. He's got to get confident. Dude, he was fine.
He was totally fine. It's like all those stats I rattled off when they sent him down. He's like third, and he like over the 10 games that everyone was saying, oh, he's really fell off cliff. He like led the team in high danger scoring chances. I was like, yeah, I think his confidence is okay. I think he's doing just fine.
What? The team as a whole lost. What was the record? 2-8.
Yeah, it was like 2-8-1 or something.
Oh yeah, let's pin it on the fucking.
Well, and imagine how much better he'd be now that like they sent him down when everything was in the shitter. Now, like, the vibes are great. You've got Zeri up here. You've got Pospisil. They are immaculate. You've got Pospisil up here. Like, get him up now that everything's kind of going better.
Well, it sounds like, well,
he didn't play yesterday. He wasn't on the roster. I would assume there's some flu stuff going on.
Well, Connor did specifically say Coronado, we can bring him up now that we don't have.
Well, okay. I just want to talk about this Dorov thing for one more second, because what did you think of Conroy's interview? I don't know, because Leslie interviewed him during the intermission of the Canucks game where they had just traded to Zdorov. And he's taken a lot of heat, but I actually didn't mind what he was saying.
Yeah, I don't mind what he's saying, but like, you tell me you couldn't have got more?
Yeah. I think.
How could you not get more?
Third and 2 years from now.
Yeah, you basically got nothing.
My biggest problem is that it's in the his total body of work. If you look at that trade in a vacuum, I think it's still very disappointing that he was only able to get that, a third in 2 years and a fifth.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you just look at that in a vacuum, it's like, oh, this guy didn't want to be here. He's expiring at the end of the year, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But when you look at it in the context of, like, Kate, what did he get for Toffoli? You look at this body of work of trades, it's like, fuck.
Yeah, that's what it? Did you... Well, if you basically put them together, you traded Zadorov, a solid third-pairing defenseman that lays bodies.
Who's really good defender, defensive impact, very, very strong, has become a really good... I think he's become a much better defenseman since coming to Calgary than he was previously.
Who just followed us on Twitter, by the way.
Oh, fuck yeah. And one of my favorite players, too, right? Like, I think that's maybe kind of a bummer. Like, I know we're both Zadorov guys, and I know he's got his flaws, but I really liked him, and I really liked watching him play.
You trade Zadorov and Toffoli for, what's the total return?
You get Sharangovich, two-thirds, one of which is in 2 years from now, and a fifth. That's totally unacceptable.
No, that's not good. That's not good value back, especially when you're the seller.
You're the seller, and you traded two guys coming off career years. You just traded two guys coming off career years for less than a middling return.
Toffoli's on pace for 50 goals. Is that what I saw? Is that what you posted?
At the time of the Zadorov trade, Toffoli was on pace for 45 goals. I believe he's still on pace for at least 40. He's got 12 and 20.
He's leading their team in scoring goals, is he not?
He's on pace for 41 goals. So that's my
a
more 40 problem.
Goal scorer.
Yeah, 40 goal scorer for, and everyone's like, oh, but Sharangovich has been great. Sharangovich has not been great. He's been okay. He's just a guy. He's got what, 5 goals?
He's been good here and there. That's the exactly. extent
he's,
of it.
He's been like a Dubé. Hey, sometimes he's been. Oh, wow, he looked good tonight. Other times, it's like, did he play tonight?
That's most of the roster most nights.
Yeah. So
I'm serious. I'm into the third period. I'm like, oh, yeah, fuck. We still have Hubert. I haven't even heard his name once. Oh, there he is. Oh, yeah, he is playing. Okay. Yeah, just checking. I don't know.
So, like, you just look at the body of his work, trade-wise alone, not considering the other fact that they tried to sign Lindholm and Hanifin into these monster deals.
Fuck.
And it's just like, fuck, man. Like, I think the bigger problem I have with both the Zadorov and Toffoli things is that you kind of, not only did you sell low on two guys who are coming off career years and you should have got a buttload for, there's kind of like the process in which you got to the point of those guys wanting trades, I think, worries me too. Is like somehow they managed to like lose all the leverage in both of these negotiations and then just pretty much like give them away for nothing. It's like, I don't understand your process on how you managed to do that. Like, this is a reverse Joe Sakic, Stevie Y situation where those guys take situations that, like, maybe a guy's asked for a trade or a hard trade request, and they're like, fuck you, I'm taking control of this, I'm going to get the best offer. And then Joe Sakic turns, like, a Matt Duchene trade request into, like, Cale Makar. Holy shit, masterclass. This is the opposite of that.
Yeah, we're on the butt end of it.
Which is like, hey, you somehow managed to lose all the leverage in this negotiation with the player. You somehow managed to lose the leverage in assessing the trade market, and then you just traded them for not very much. I don't like either of those trades, and combined together, really bad.
Well, those are the only two trades he's made, right?
Yeah, I know. And it's like, this is another thing to me where people, oh, well, Zadorov asked for a trade, Toffoli asked for a trade.
What's he supposed to do?
Exactly. Right? We're getting back into this. Nobody ever holds these guys accountable. It's like, I've talked to so many people who would say the same things about when Brad would make a poor move. It's like, well, what's he supposed to do? I don't fucking know. Something better than that.
Don't find yourself in that situation in the first place.
Like you're telling me.
If he's not diddling around with Lindholm and Hanifin all fucking summer long, then these guys don't feel like they're fucking not valued.
It's like, I don't think they should be signing Toffoli to it, because this is what I hear on the radio. You kind of have the polar opposites. You have people on the Twitter online kind of Flames fan community, which we're more a part of, who are like, this is the terrible trade. What the hell are you doing? And then you have the polar opposite, is like the mainstream media people who are like, oh, what's he supposed to do when the guy asks for a trade? And it's like, okay, well, you know, you look at the Toffoli one where it's like, yeah, Toffoli wanted to sign a long-term deal. I'm not sitting here saying they should have signed that, but the reason it got to the point where he asked for a trade is because you were, like you said, diddling around with Hanifin and Lindholm. Zadorov, same thing. They never offered him a contract. So you're sitting there as a GM, you haven't offered this player a contract extension when he's publicly expressed that he would like to stay in Calgary. And then you're like blown away surprised when he requests a trade. You don't see that coming at all. You're not on top of that enough. And you're like, oh, fuck, I didn't know.
What was I supposed to do?
Shit. Oh, well, I guess I just got to take whatever's out there, because now everybody knows I got to trade him. So
we'll take anything any year you got.
So in a vacuum, this Zadorov trade is meh. In the broader context of what Conroy's done so far, especially in the trading market, it's a big miss.
Yeah. So far, we're not recouping much here in terms of.
I'd rather have a third and a fifth than lose him for nothing, but that's a pretty low bar.
He's got to hit the next one out of the park. Who do you think goes first, Lindholm? Probably Tanev. If you're smart, you deal Tanev first.
Tanev, yeah, exactly. Like that, he blocks that shot with his face.
Every game that he doesn't get injured is a fucking miracle.
Every shift.
Fuck.
Yeah, I'm just gonna block this slap shot with my bare face. I'm fine.
I got one tooth left. Fuck it.
He said that. Even do you hear that?
Yeah, because like, if I lost my snaggle deal, I wouldn't even care.
That guy deserves a Stanley Cup. Holy shit.
Seriously. Send him to Dallas.
Get him to Dallas. Get him to Vegas. Get him to Colorado.
Nah, just load up the Pacific.
Yeah, in order of priority, I'd be looking to trade Tanev. Tanev first. And I don't know. I still think you have to trade Lindholm. Like, holy shit. I if we're going to, like, nitpick here, like, it probably wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if they ended up retaining Hanifin. I don't agree with that. And I wouldn't be spending my money there, especially given what you could probably get for him. But you have to trade Lindholm. You have to.
Dude, the Coyotes are ahead of you in the standings. That's all you need to know.
And you wouldn't have to trade Lindholm if, like, maybe he kind of wanted to be here, and you didn't have a bunch of other contracts. You're already paying a lot of money to older players. But
if you do not trade him, you lose him for absolutely nothing.
Which is exactly, in your first press conference, what you said you weren't going to let happen again.
All right, Todd, do you want to touch on Mangiapane and Dubé? These guys are getting fucking absolutely shit on online for good reason. They've been terrible.
Yeah, I think it's a good conversation because I think Mangiapane's just doing Mangiapane things. That's kind of been his MO for a while. You look at his numbers, he's actually still, you know, like creating scoring chances. He just can't score, which other than that, well, year he scored 35 goals has always kind of been his thing, right?
Yeah, streaky.
Streaky. Bad finisher. Dubé is just like terrible, I guess.
Looks lost.
Which
he can't even score in Blast anymore. And then you know you got a real problem.
I don't know. Like back when Dubé was just kind of breaking into the league, he looked like he had that kind of like tantalizing skill that we were missing. And he's just never speed.
Which he doesn't really execute.
He's just like
my favorite comment on Twitter is, what does he bother being first in fitness for if he doesn't even fucking do anything?
What's he use all his fitness for? Well, he can hold his breath a really long time.
How's your breath, Phil? That bad, eh?
Oh, he can ride the bike better than anybody. Well, I guess that doesn't translate into being good at hockey, eh?
Sure doesn't. Maybe you should try...
Remember in the summer when they wanted
maybe to... Maybe you should try one of those Grand Prix.
Why doesn't he get a balloon? Why doesn't he take Huberto's trainer? Get some balloons. Start blowing some balloons while on a balance beam. That'll help him.
A balance beam.
Remember in the summer when the Flames...
Wearing a pink leotard.
Yeah. I've never been like a huge Dubé believer the way I have been a Mangiapane believer, but he had 45 points last year. Isn't that kind of surprising? 45 points. His underlying numbers sucked, but he still put up points. I guess he was playing with Toffoli a lot. Was he? Where did he even play? Somebody spotted him and Toffoli hanging out yesterday, eh?
Dubé needs to go to a team like Tampa, where you can just stick on the third line and chip in every once in a while and then score some big playoff goals.
Part of me feels like he might have suffered from, like, Sam Bennett syndrome, where it's like the one thing that has always bugged me about how they've handled Dubé is that they've never had him play center, which I think he's a much better center than he's been a winger, and I've said that for a long time. And that's never really what I understood about Bennett. They're like, yeah, you're playing the wing while fucking Jankowski gets to play center. It's like, what?
Yeah, the next Joe Noondijk.
It's like, why aren't you playing this guy in his natural position? And then Bennett goes to Florida and he plays center and he's instantaneously better.
Second line center, power up minutes, everything.
Yeah, so I don't think Dubé hasn't been given a chance like Bennett wasn't. I think it's the exact opposite. Dubé's always given chances, but being given a chance and being properly utilized are two different things, and being able to fulfill a role that you're actually good at. And I know Darryl was a big Dubé guy, and I think that's maybe partially why he actually had a pretty good year last year, because one thing Darryl is good at is getting guys to understand their role and perform their role and making sure they know they have a role on the team. Yeah. Right now, what's Dubé's role? Nobody knows. He's up and down the lineup. He's everywhere. He's here. He's there.
He's just the utility guy. It gets old over after time.
Yeah.
Like you said, if you as a player don't know your role and your role is just like to fill the other roles when someone else, that's can be challenging. So I think maybe make a good point there.
I think on the Mangiapane front, I am kind of disappointed because...
Me too, man.
I really thought...
He's been the biggest disappointment for me this season.
And like I said, I think his underlying numbers are still fine. But I really thought, like, in his prime, like these kind of 3 years where he's like 26, 27, 28, he was going to be like... Yeah. I really thought he was going to be like a Mark Stone type guy for us. I really did.
No, he has not gotten better. Did you see this video with him and Rasmus Anderson playing hit the post? These guys can't even hit the fucking post.
Oh, you're surprised Anderson doesn't have pinpoint accuracy or Mangiapane?
Why did they even bother publishing this?
Yeah, they should have been like this. Scratch this footage, guys.
Wow, you guys actually suck. They're like what are they, 12 pucks and he should hit the post once.
So bad. Do you think Shillington's going to come back? Fuck, man.
Well, yeah, I do. Do you? He's skating with the team.
He must be coming back.
Did he just come for a skate for his mental health? Why doesn't anybody fucking tell us what's going on?
Yeah, you think 2 years later there would be some update.
You think that when he's skating on the team and it's circulating publicly, that then we get some sort of update? Is there a timeline for his return? Is there a return happening? Or is he just fucking, this is good for his mental health? I don't know what's going on.
There'd better be a return.
Fuck, do we need a guy like him, eh?
We need, the D would be, okay, let's say you trade Tanev. I would watch the shit out of a team that's like, hey, top line is Huberto, Zeri, Coronado. Your second line's like Pospisil, Kadri, and Monge. Third line.
Gadri.
Third line, Backlund and Coleman with whoever. And then you have like Dubé, the kind of outcast, Rosicka, Dubé. I think Sharangovich should actually play well with Backlund and Coleman. Well, who doesn't play well with them? But, and then your blue line is like Uyghur, Anderson. Let's say when Poirier's healthy, Poirier, Shillington. Imagine watching Poirier and Shillington play together. Holy shit, that'd be awesome. And then have just like a third pairing of like, get Mark Pisick up here, who they signed. Old veteran guy. Maybe he's kind of reliable. Pisick and whoever else. Like, that'd be probably a fun, entertaining team to watch a lot. You probably wouldn't win a lot.
Wolf and Net?
Like, sign me up. I'll watch that. Like, I'll watch these. That's why I'm enjoying watching these games, because I don't really care about the outcome too much.
Yeah, you just want to watch the players.
I just want to watch the players, which is, it's great. I just want to watch Wolf. I want to watch Zeri. I want to watch Shillington when he's back. I would like to watch Poirier. I want to watch Coronado.
What have you thought of Soloviov?
Yeah, he's been okay.
Man, his first shift, he got fucking...
Yeah.
The first shift, was it Foligno?
Marcus Foligno, yeah.
Foligno comes in.
That Minnesota game was brutal.
That's quite the celebration that him and Wolf have after they win, eh?
The christening?
The christening of the crease? The fuck is that all about? What's happening here? What's going on? Are these guys just... exercising the demons that permanently live inside the Saddle Dome after the whole Ottinger? We tried to curse Ottinger and summon a demon. Is that what they're trying to do?
Somebody did that.
Thing out of the dome.
Time somebody brought some holy action to the dome.
Yes, cleanse that fucking place. Let's go.
Exactly. I love shit like that.
That was awesome.
That's totally awesome.
That's even better than the Tkachuk goalie love.
Oh, yeah. Fuck you, Matthew.
That was funny. Did you see Uyghurs like, what the fuck are these guys doing? That was awesome. So, I don't know. We've seen... Tell me what you think of these bottom kind of, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th defenseman guys. Like, we've seen Gilbert quite a bit. You've seen Osterley. Now we've seen Soloviov. Am I missing anybody?
I think that's it.
So those three guys, like, who do you like out of these three? Like, what if
Soloviov? Well, I definitely would prefer Soloviov. He's 6'3", he's young. I mean, I don't think he's just been playing. He's just a guy right now. I think that's his game though. Like, this is a guy who was what, like a 7th round pick or something? So for him to be in the league at all is pretty sweet. And to be able to develop to that point.
There was a, post going around. Who's been the most effective flame or the most valuable flame? We're basically a little bit over of a quarter way through the season here. Who do you think it is? Is it Zari?
It's totally Zari.
Zari, and I would say, and this guy was not on the list, but I think. Blake Coleman is
probably, oh yeah, Coleman for sure. He's been the life.
He's been the guy scoring the clutch goals.
He's been like the Toffoli of last year, this year.
Yeah. Does he lead the team in scoring?
He must. What does he have, 7 goals this year? 7 goals. Well, they showed on Sportsnet the other night. They were like, here's all the goal leaders of all the Canadian teams. And it's like, everyone's got like 18, 15, 16. And then the bottom two, Montreal, Sean Monahan with 8. Yeah. And then Lindholm was 7.
I know. That's the thing. Fuck, you watch. Dude. You tune in other games and there's fucking Besser's got 18 goals. Oh, here are the goal scoring leaders. Who leads us? Coleman's got 7.
Blake Coleman, 7 goals.
But, you know, there is that other stat thrown out there, too, that, you know, if you're looking at the most balanced goal scoring, the Flames lead the league.
Well, yeah. That was the whole point of what Darryl was trying to get them to do last year, too, right? Like, he was going, we don't have any superstars. You all suck.
Yeah.
Every one of you sucks. You know, you got to play as a team if you're going to win anything because you all suck individually.
I'm looking at you, Huberto. Especially you.
So, yeah, the D has been, like, I think Weger has, like, 6 goals already, which is sweet.
Yeah, you've been chipping in a lot.
Anafin's got 5 goals. But, yeah, I think if you're looking at who's the most valuable, who's been, it's Zary, and I think it's not even close. He's come in and they had an almost instantaneous turnaround as soon as he came up.
Yeah. Zary, Coleman, and maybe Anderson. Like he's scored some big goals. He's made, you know, he's pretty good back there on a nightly basis.
Unless he's not on the power play, he's good. I think maybe Kadri too. Like he's kind of tail off a bit, but I mean, he's still been pretty good every night.
On the other end of the spectrum, who's been the worst? Like, it's probably Mangiapane and Dubé.
Probably Dubé for sure. I think Mangiapane's still like,
well, his underlines yet
doing enough in terms of scoring chance creation. Obviously, he's not scoring, but I think Dubé's probably been the worst. Probably Lindholm has not been very good, man. He's been okay recently, but this whole year, like,
you gotta deal Lindholm, man. So let's rip through the lines here real quick. Currently, the top line, are they calling it the Huberto line still?
I think the Huberto line's the third line as far as I think the top line is the Kadri line.
So Kadri, Zary, and they're still playing.
They had Pospisil scratch there, but he's been there the last little while.
Because they tried Dubé there one game.
Tried Dubé there for sure, yeah.
Oh, God. So currently right now, top line is Kadri, Zary, and Pospisil.
I'd say, yep.
And then, so the second line has been Backlund, Coleman, and Huberto. And I still think until Huberto hits that next gear, which I think this is the only scenario we'll see him as playing with these two players just because they play such simple hockey. But then maybe that gives you an option down the road. If Huberto can get going, why is the power play so bad?
It's mind-numbing how bad it is.
Like, they finally started trying some one-time options. Just keep fucking doing that.
I don't get why it's complicated to have, like, one cross-ice pass on a power play.
It's not. That's what all the good teams do. And you don't have to have elite skill. It's all about your setup and how
everyone,
you
move around. They don't have the skill. They don't have the skill to make a cross-ice pass, eh?
Yeah. Right? That's the thing.
What?
I make a post on Twitter. Why does Savard still have a job at this point? Oh, apparently it's the players thought of that. Personnel. Yeah. No one can make a cross ice pass? Not capable?
We got the guy who set the record for assists by a left winger. He can't make a cross ice pass, eh?
Yeah. Why don't you have I just don't understand this. If you're on your off wing, think about it. You can open up to the play. Everybody's going on about breaking down, hyper-analyzing. You know, he's better with options. He's going to have more options if he's opened up to the entire ice. You know, if he's on his strong wing, he can't open up. And if you're opened up, you can't think about it. Okay, if you're on the left wing, you're Huberto and you're on the power play. You have no leverage behind putting any sauce but or crisp pass across to the other side of the net. Versus if you're on your off wing, so you're on the right-hand side of the ice if you're Huberto, you have all the leverage and power behind a pass or a shot. How do you shoot from your back left foot if you're on the left wing, if you're on the half boards? You can't one-time it. Put guys in their one-time position. Huberto, he has to play right wing on the power play. Was he doing this stupid same setup in Florida?
He was all over the place in Florida because they actually moved the puck.
You reduce so many options having guys on their strong wings on the power play. You reduce so many. I mean, when I played hockey, I actually preferred playing. I would shoot left. Preferred playing on the right wing. Because you come down the wing and then you can open yourself up to the play. Sure, you lack a little bit of speed because now you're driving from your backhand. But even still, you can cut to the center of the ice easier from your backhand than you're already at your forehand when you get to the slot. So it's like, put these guys, keep them on their off wings. Just start working the one-timers. Stop with this Hanifin quarterbacking. Stop with this Anderson quarterbacking. Like, these guys are not elite at quarterbacking power plays. Stop right now. I think we've seen them try this formation and setup a little bit more lately, but you got to commit to it. I just don't understand. If you're Savard, dude, your job's pretty fucking simple, man. Study the top five power plays in the league. Study the shit out of it and copy what they're doing. Well, it's not any much more elite talent than what you currently have on your roster. You can do it. Like, it's not fucking, I still think these guys, you can be better than one for fucking 30.
Well, and it seems like what I can't get over is, like, it's not even like we're like looking at, okay, they're trying to implement some modern new tactics that just kind of like aren't working. Like, this is just like, it's so basic level. It's like,
it's mind numbing.
It's like, I remember when like Jeff Ward was running the power play and like, it was really good that one year and then maybe kind of stagnant the next year. But it's like, you kind of at least knew the Flames, like what they were trying to do. They had some nice set plays. They were actually utilizing their setup for a purpose. It's like right now, it's like,
I have no fucking clue
exactly what on earth the Flames want to do on the power play. Yeah, I have no idea.
There was a purpose behind their execution. And now, like, the other team dumps it down. And right from the start, like, say, Hanifin has it behind the net. Oh, look, Hanifin has some, he is an amazing skater and he can distribute the puck well. But the hockey sense on this guy, to be on the power play, you're not going to get much there. If he has a very clear-cut role, and that's to skate the puck up the ice and then dish it to either side, but these guys can't even fucking, their entries suck, their possession sucks, when they dump the puck in with their entries, which I hate. I hate seeing a team do that. You should be able to carry it in. You got to have strategies to carry the puck in with possession. But anyways, their retrievals suck. They don't battle hard enough. Their puck support sucks when they're trying to retrieval. Their formation blows. They don't even have support guys when they're in formation on either flank. It's just like everything is brutal. And it comes down to, we saw the same thing last year. It's terrible. Why is the head coach, right? Like last year, Darryl was, you know, for a little bit saying how bad the power play was. That's your colleague over there. Exactly. It's your colleague. Does he need help, head coach? Even Huska's like, yeah, our power play is, you know, he's making remarks about the power play. Okay, as an organization, let's go. This is professional sports here. This is the best league in the world. If you're getting that terrible of a result over and over and over and over again, you'd fucking figure it out. Like,
it's, well, exactly. And it's just ridiculous. It's mind numbing how, like, The benefit, like, I can't understand. They do the 1-3-1. They want to play with structure because whatever. They don't have skilled players. Well, then you better have some set plays because that's the only way, like, a structure-based power play that doesn't move very much is going to work, is with some set play. Have you seen a set play?
No.
Have you seen one?
No.
I haven't either.
We don't know because they can't even set up.
Like, if you watch the Oilers, who don't really play with much structure on the power play, it's all around motion, and they just move like nut jobs all over the place and just create so much havoc that something's going to open up. And obviously, they rely on their insane skill to do that. I would imagine when you have a guy like Huberto, who was third in the entire league behind only McDavid and Drysdale and MacKinnon in power play points in five straight years, that you could maybe, like, oh, could we, like, maybe utilize this guy a bit more in the power play? A little bit? Nah, we'll just have him sit stationary on his left wing and either lob a soft shot in,
dude,
for a rebound or just pass it back to the point. It's mind-numbing how bad it is. I do not get it. I don't get how you can have a power play like that in the NHL. I do not understand.
Why is he in the left wing?
Like, I could say, okay, guys, we're just going to play a 1-3-1 and lob pucks in from the point.
Yeah, we only have one play, but if we can execute it, we're going to score goals. They don't even have that.
They don't even have one play.
But, like, if you're, like, seriously, why is he on his left wing? You have no power on your back foot like that to make plays.
Why is he stapled there? Like, why can't he move?
I don't know, man. I can't.
It's, like, just mind-blowing.
It's so frustrating.
It's insane. I can't watch power plays.
It makes me want to fucking blow my own head off.
It's weird how angry it makes me.
Dude, it's...
Like, it's fucking... I could be sitting there enjoying the game, having the best day ever. If I see that power play, I'm, like, instantly, like, so fucking pissed.
Yeah, same. Just want to start killing.
Yeah.
Let me just get that on my chest.
If they want to do, like, terrorist training videos to, like, radicalize people in whatever country, they should just show them, like, hours and footage of Flames power play footage.
Yes.
Everyone will be ready to just, like, go nuts after they watch too much of that.
It's basically Chinese water torture. That's what it is.
Yeah. Drip.
That's what it is. Drip.
Drip. Drip.
All right, man. Let's wrap this thing up here. Let's call this the quarter review. Are we what you expected us to be? Obviously, the personnel has been a complete flip on the script. I think we're pretty clear on what we think the direction should look like. I don't know. What are your overall thoughts here this far into the season?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're exactly what I expected us to be. It was just kind of like a middling team. You know, that's really it. And the only developments that have been positive have been the young players.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's been a weird, 26 games? Because you're kind of going on like these, you know, you went on that little heater there for a while. You're like, yeah, maybe we are good, you know? Then you kind of lost a few games. You get stomped by Minnesota, and you're like, yeah, no, we fucking suck. Yeah, and you play that game against Carolina, and you're like, yeah, maybe we are good, you know? Yeah,
this is the perpetual mind state of a Calgary Flames fan.
Exactly. And if you get it, the problem is this is the perpetual mind state of the management, too, where every game seems to decide the future of the franchise.
Yeah.
So I just hope Conroy holds strong, can actually make some decent trades, and set this team up for a better year next year. You can be the 24. Hey, we don't have Johnny Gaudreau. Well, hey, you know what? Maybe Connor Zary in his rookie year can be as good as like a Johnny Gaudreau in his rookie year. And you can pull a 2014-15 and trade some guys and still make the playoffs. I think that's what we're holding on to, because we all know 100%. The propensity of this management team to just like want to sign everybody and just kind of make the playoffs.
Like, I don't see, I don't know, man. Maybe this team gels a little more. If you had a little more consistent contribution from guys like Mangiapane, Dubé, Huberto.
Your highest paid guys, you know.
Yeah, and if your power play actually did something, I don't know. Are you just slightly above average then? Like, the writing on the wall is clear.
I think there's a clear path to how you need to approach this, and it's doing that rebuilding on the fly, right? Retooling on the fly. So you're continually bringing youth in, and it's, you know, that's your main focus, and you know, you just got to deal with this UFAs and Tanev and Lindholm. All right, well, we'll see what happens. We got Devils are coming up here pretty quick. Avalanche, Vegas.
Jeez, this is a tough road trip.
And then you have Minnesota again, and then the Lightning in Florida. So I still – oh, then you got the Ducks and the Kings. I mean, that Christmas break, what, a lot of GMs call that the true halfway point of the season, even though it's not, you know, exactly halfway. But we're going to be below 500, I would guesstimate, by Christmas. And, you know, it's just kind of unfortunate, I guess, that the Pacific isn't stronger, or the West as a whole, because you could be that much more further out of the playoff picture, right? Because you're 5 points away from bottom of the league, but you're 3 points out of a wild card spot. It just kind of perpetuates this waiting game. But I don't know, the talk around the league, man, if you watch all the shows, the Sportsnet and SportsCenter and this and that, everybody knows that Calgary's going to deal these guys. It's just a matter of time. So let's just hope that, you know, we cash in and get some good.
Just hope the return is better than that Zadorov trade.
Exactly.
GMs around the league were surprised at the level of return.
Yeah, the talk around the league, well, there was, you know, people were shocked. There wasn't more. People were saying, why didn't you call me? I'm sitting there, I'm like, wait, why didn't Craig call every fucking team? Being like, hey, here's the ask. I'm not going to tell you what team it is, but can you do better than this? Can you do better in a third? In 2 years from now, can you do better with no retention? Sure as shit, there's another team out there that would have paid more than that. So I don't know, man. Like, that's the thing. It's just like, you're allowed to call the other GMs, Craig.
You can call people other than Brad, eh?
Brad, what am I supposed to do here?
Brad.
Boop. Boop. So, I think with Connie, yeah, we're still sitting here hopeful. Like you said, the first couple of trades are not a good indication of what he's done. But these next, I mean, how he handles these other, you know, pending RFAs is going to really dictate which team this direction goes and give us a better sense of, you know, what we have in Connery as a GM.
Backlund goes for the net. There's the pass. Score! Sherry with a terrific pass to Backlund, who puts it home. That makes it 6-4 Calgary. With Backlund and Mangiapane into the zone. Weger shoots. Scores! Chance here for Coleman, right on cue. Coleman scores! Make it 7 shorties against Carolina, and the Flames up 3-2.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsinis.
I'm Kayla Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.